absolutely. And essentially, as soon as the Earth became in the view, the easy view, where I didn't have to turn my head, when it was in what I'll call my field of view, not my field of regard, when I could just see it looking straight, the moon was already at a point where I was losing out subtle albedo differences. I think it's the angle of incidence. The angle of the sun to the moon didn't change much, but we moved to the side, so we were seeing a different angle, and the color was less apparent. Oriental had also rotated really close to the limb, so a lot of the features that I was looking at were moving away, but I think the change in lighting was due to the angle of incidence, but then when the Earth became apparent, its brightness, it was so bright. It was so bright it looked out of place. The moon and the black of space kind of seemed to go together, but then the more in the dull sense, but then the vividness and brightness, like the difference between an LED display and a painting, right? You can just do things with light that you can't do with paint colors. The Earth looked out of place, and it just continued to dim the albedo and color that was earlier apparent in the moon. I'm passing to Christina.
You saw me nodding vigorously back here. That wasn't just my fantastic listening skills. I was nodding to make sure, oh, we're not on video. This whole time I've been sitting on the show. I was nodding, now you know, because I agreed with everything he said. I'll add a couple thoughts that popped into my mind, which was, I think I made the comment that the moon turned into a sponge of light. In my mind, before the Earth came into view, the moon actually was reflecting light, and it was lit up. As soon as the Earth got close enough to be in my field of view to take them both in at the same time, exactly what Victor said, it dulled, it turned into a sponge. It's almost like it went matte, like a matte finish. And for me, so that's brightness and albedo. It also, I would say for me, got like a browner top, taupe color, like almost an olivey brown, kind of like the boys' pants, not like my pants, but like these pants, and whereas before I would have said it was more like electric gray and in its grayer areas, so for me it turned more brown, but a very matte brown. I'm going to stop there. There's one more comment I'll make about when it was very close, just in case it's interesting.
Absolutely, we take that opportunity.
The only other thing I wanted to add to that is not scientific on lunar observations, but I think that I know myself in particular, but probably we all underestimated the amount of impact of sunlight and earth glow on cabin windows, on glare on the window structure, window frame, on the heat shield tiles coming across the cabin. That was a pretty large impact, Kelsey.
That stuck up to us here on the ground as well, Reed, and we were hearing the struggles that all those different expected illumination sources provide, but unexpected in the impact that they had. Speaking of things that had an impact on observations, Victor, we heard during your sit rep when you were in the docking window that having that orange tapped on tape in your field of view affected your color observations. That was fascinating and has a lot of impact for future Artemis missions and hardware and impacts on color. So any other comment you want to make on how your ability to perceive color on the surface was influenced or limited by other objects of color in your view? We're interested here in color rather than brightness.
W.
Absolutely, but all the comments I made about the Earth earlier apply to this one as well. This is the thing I wanted to make sure to add, so I'm glad you asked, is that the human eye adjusting is another thing that had a huge impact. Some of the colors and their patterns did not appear in the moon, the Aristarchus Plateau, you know, the browns, the streaks that we saw there, until you stared, kind of like the impact flashes. You really have to be staring. And it wasn't because of intention. It was because my eyes were adjusting. And so as soon as I was inside the cabin, the vehicle, if those bright LEDs that were in the vehicle or if the sun was reflecting off of a corner of the windowsill or the bright earth in the field of view, those things would change my eye, and I'd have to wait for them to adjust again. Now, I want to add, while Victor's talking about that, on the Kapton tape color, let me see if I can nod to my crewmates, but when we're looking at Earth, just a normal Earth lit up by the sun, I'm used to seeing these deep blue pictures of like Earth Day photos, Apollo 8 photos. But when we look out, the cloud cover is so bright. It is almost blindingly bright, and you really cannot make out significant detail in the Earth when we're at long distance on a sunlit Earth. So it was very interesting to me that the Earth is so bright from the clouds that it is actually hard to look at.
Hey, since we're going discussion style, like you mentioned, I'll add a couple comments on color. I didn't notice color changing my view, except maybe, like Victor said, it was I didn't realize it when I looked down at the PCD and back, because I do think there was a time scale there where you saw things a little differently if you just stared for a long time, and sometimes even staring out into the blackness to kind of reset and come back. So I think that is a note. We were very much reliant on PCDs for instruction, but that did cause our eyes to constantly refresh on those colors. I didn't notice necessarily a color difference, but just like a quality of observation, maybe like he was saying, like the details or the contrast. So it might have even been a night vision thing. Yeah, that's all saying that. I did want to mention that when we were getting the really, really high amount of light into the windows, even the shrouded windows from the sun, the reflection on things behind the observer that are in the cabin was really strong on the window. So there's some high albedo things behind our heads, like there's a white bar, the abort sticker on the RHC, some other metal things, like we have some white bungees. I was trying to observe the dark side of the moon during the Earth set, while the Earth was behind it, and I ended up asking Reed to give me some black t-shirts, and we covered all of that stuff so that the reflection was just less in the glass, and it worked so well. It basically made observing for impact flashes possible, whereas it wouldn't have been otherwise. So that's a good tip, and I would even recommend, like, maybe as part of your stuff, if you have this in the future, like a black room, a dark room cloth or something to lay behind the observers. Finally, back on the question of moon color change during Earth set, the other thing that that happened, which was kind of, I think, just more in the category of, like, a mirage or something, even though I recognize there's no atmosphere around the moon that would cause the same things as mirages on Earth. There was definitely an effect, like, when the Earth actually set of, like, when it first touched the moon, it was like your eyes didn't know what to do at that boundary, and it kind of just created a lot of light in that spot. Once it got below that tangent, first touch, then it got more normal, and I was able to just see the Earth and see the moon and see their contact. That's all for me. Anybody else on this question?
Thank you, Christina. And as I think I saw you notice, we did just get video a couple minutes ago, so it's nice to see you as we're talking to you. Next question is for all of you. Ohm crater was observed by all four of you, and we're interested in whether your different viewing angles resulted in how you observed Ohm. Jeremy and Reed saw it first. Were you able to see the ejector rays, the central peak? And then Christina and Victor, you were next, and you observed Ohm later in the past. Could you resolve similar or different features than what you're about to hear from Jeremy and Reed?